This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block. Take a deep breath and then dive down into the ocean as far as possible. Then come back up. That's the competitive sport known as free diving. Last month, a Brooklyn man died trying to set a new American record, 236 feet deep. His death has prompted a new focus on safety. Charles Lane of member station WSHU has been free diving for 5 years. He recently attended the first competition since the fatal accident.
Dahab, Egypt. We're just north of Sharm el-Sheikh on the Sinai Peninsula, and it's really perfect for freediving here because you can have tea in one of these simple beach cafes and then take not 20 steps into the Gulf of Aqaba, where it plunges more than 100 yards into a wineglass-shaped blue hole. Freedivers from across the world come here to train and compete. I'm looking at a dozen competitors right now. Their yellow buoys are strung out across the blue hole in a row. Each one has a weighted rope that the divers follow down into the blue abyss. 1 minute goes by, 2 minutes go by, 3 minutes go by, and then the diver comes back up with a tag proving that he was at the bottom. But not all the divers competed today. One dropped out. Maxime Skander is a Canadian-Egyptian freediver, and he withdrew from competition today because of an injury known as a lung squeeze.
How did I know? I spit a little bit of blood. Not that much, but enough to tell you, okay, something happened. I said to myself, I might as well rest and not make any stupid mistakes, especially considering what happened with Nick from New York, actually. So everybody got pretty shocked from what happened.
Nick Nevoli. He died in November after surfacing from a dive in the Bahamas. Competition officials haven't yet determined the official cause of death, but everyone in the community knows the telltale signs of a lung squeeze, shortness of breath, and blood. When the body goes deep, the weight of the water presses the lungs and the alveoli inside. Picture a paper bag full of blueberries. If you're relaxed, you can compress that bag carefully enough to avoid squashing the berries, but any twists or jerks can cause ruptures. Mevoli did this several times, aborting his dive twice, but changing his mind and turning back down. Iskander calls that extreme.
Personally, I would have never even thought about doing anything similar to that because there's very high risk of squeezing them.
In this first competition since Mevoli's death, organizers asked divers not to compete if they've had a squeeze in the last month. They also limited the depth by which divers can exceed their personal best. Freedive instructor Brian Crossland is running today's event.
We were all sat here thinking the sport is very safe and obviously we've got to react to this until we get some feedback just to say what the results of Nick was and what actually happened. We've got to err on the side of caution.
In freediving, squeezes are common. Judges and safety divers describe athletes surfacing, posing for YouTube, and then ducking behind a buoy to spit up slicks of blood flecked with white body tissue.
A fountain of blood, and everyone trying to help him was covered, and it was gruesome.
Sarah Campbell is a four-time world record freediver. She says the sport has grown complacent with these injuries, like the one she witnessed at the World Championship in 2011.
He was taken to hospital. Once they got him breathing again, he was taken to hospital, and he's fine.
On the one hand, Campbell and others blame overly ambitious competitors who've seen other divers return from death unscathed, wrapped in a cocoon of safety divers and medics. Mevoli, she says, inherited this complacency. But Campbell also criticizes AIDA, the organization governing competitive freediving. She says the group isn't proactive enough in publishing accident reports. Kimmo Lahtinen is AIDA president. He says AIDA isn't covering anything up, rather it's victim to the paralysis of an all-volunteer organization that's run democratically.
When you try to lead this kind of multicultural and challenging organization, which is actually non-profit as well, it's not easy to make fast decisions quite often. So I can agree that we are not the fastest organization maybe in the world, but we try to do our best.
Lahtinen also describes downfalls to ramping up regulation. Competitors could start lying to judges and medical staff, or worse, the sport could go underground where there are no safety or education infrastructures. Currently, there is a special AIDA work group investigating the contributing factors to Mevoli's death. Lahtinen says the report will likely recommend rule changes similar to those implemented at this Dahab competition. For NPR News, I'm Charles Lane.